Wednesday, 18 September, Yudal Tishrei, Rabbi Aaron Hirsch, building castles in the air.
Come on now,
castles in the air.
Good morning, Git Krittel. The Torah tells us that the Sholosh Regalim are based on the Avos, on Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. And clearly that would make Sukkos related to Yaakov. And in fact, the first mention of Sukkah in the Torah is with Yaakov, just after his struggle with the Malach, where we are told that Vayova Yaakov Sholem, and he built a sukkah. And the normal understanding is that he was unaffected by the struggle with the Malach. He managed to come through it unharmed. He remained as complete as he had been prior to the struggle. That's the idea of Sholem. But the problem is that, at least on one and possibly on two counts, the Pasuk doesn't seem to be telling us that he remained Sholem. Firstly, because as we know, that Vuhutzelea, that as a result of the struggle, that he was affected, both in terms of Gashmius and in terms of Ruchnius. And secondly, if he was Sholem in the sense of being unaffected, then clearly he had been there prior to the struggle. Because what we're now suggesting is, even though he went through the struggle, he came out of the struggle Sholem. That means he had been Sholem before he'd gone into the struggle. So why not emphasize that Nakuda? Why not tell us about his Shlemus beforehand? And therefore, what we need to retranslate Vayova Yaakov Sholem to mean is that as a result of the struggle, he achieved being Sholem. The fact that he had gone through the struggle made him a Sholem, not the fact that he was unaffected prior and post. And if we are therefore relating Yaakov, as the Torah does, to Sukkos, we need to understand how we achieve that concept of being Sholem and how it comes through the struggle. Because the chiddush that we are now being told is that without struggles, without these nisyonos, we cannot achieve this concept of shlemus. And in doing so, we therefore need to understand what the word shalom means. Normally translated as peace, clearly meaning much more than that. In fact, the interesting idea which comes to mind when we are dealing with Sholem is that the gematria of the word Sholem is the same gematria as the word Esav. They both have a gematria of 376. And one could not think of two more opposing ideas than Sholem and Esav. But the reason behind that is that if you translate Sholem simply on a superficial level as meaning peace, as opposed to the real meaning, which is Shlemus, then there is a peace which comes about simply by the fact that people aren't at war. A peace that comes about through Al-Charb HaTichya. In fact, the United Nations is a classic example of it. They tell people, either don't go to war, or will bomb you into non-existence. Right? This is not quite the type of Shalom bias that people aspire to, where the only reason the husband and the wife are not arguing with each other is because there's somebody standing there saying, if you do anything wrong, we'll beat you up. We wouldn't consider that the apex of Shalom bias. But nevertheless, there is a concept of Shalom, the fact that I suppose perhaps you could say there hasn't been at least a world war since 1946. So you could say that's what the United Nations does. That's Esav being Shalom. But that's not Shalom. That's not that Vayovo Yaakov Shalom. And therefore that's not what we achieve on Sukkos in an ideal world. And in fact that is seen in Yaakov's name change. Post the encounter with the Malach, it says, Kisarisom Elohim vanoshim vatuchal. You overcame them. So why isn't he called Tuchal? He is called Yisrael, Sarisa. It is the struggle that makes him who he is. And he goes from that struggle to build a sukkah. We'll come back to what the struggle achieved for Yaakov. But for the moment, to parallel it to what we go through. Every year, we encounter a similar struggle on Yom Kippur, and Klal Yisrael emerges victorious from it, because we have a Haftacha, something that is referred to in the Tur in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, that as a nation, we emerge victorious. The individual is under a question mark, but the nation comes out victorious. And when we come through this struggle of Yom Kippur, we do what Yaakov did. We build a sukkah. The struggle for Yaakov achieved what we would perhaps call today clarity. He is fighting against the Tsar Shel Esav. In fact, there's a very interesting medrash that at one stage, the Malach Nidmeloi Kegavriel appeared to be Gavriel, because the struggle was to clarify exactly what I should be doing in different matzovim in life. And sometimes the Yetzer Hara is clearly defined as a negative one, and sometimes there's a frum Yetzer Hara. And in all cases, we need to know what is required of me at that moment in time. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu expect from me? And that's why he can be called Yisrael afterwards, because Yisrael, which has a gematria of 359, incorporates into it, 542, or 541, maths is gone today. It's Erev Yom Tov. 541 incorporates in it the name Yaakov, which is 182, and the word Satan. It incorporates all aspects of the Yetzer Hara that he is able to deal with all of it, and he now knows how to build for the future. How to take that which was a struggle in the mind, a conceptual struggle over all types of the Yetzer Hara, and take that forward and now be practical with it. Theory is important, v'yodata hayoim, but it has to come with v'ashrivoysa el vovecha. Yom Kippur is a misunderstood yontif on some levels. Might be the wrong time to talk about it when we're 3 days afterwards. It's preparation for next year, Mit Hashem. Yom Kippur is not a day where we affect change. There's no way we can deal with midos. A person has a midah that they need to change. There's no way that coming through a 25-hour tinnis, that suddenly they dealt with kas. Doesn't exist anymore. You know, they've knocked it into shape. And in terms of all the practical mitzvahs that we don't perform correctly, all the averas that are committed, it cannot be that at a time where we are removed from the scenario in which any of these could be transgressed, that somehow we have done tshuva. Never mind tshuva Gemara, but even tshuva. Yom Kippur is much more about an attitude to the fact that a person wants to be in a particular place. But on Sukkos, we build on those values which come out of Yom Kippur, and to a certain degree, that's what the Medrash means when it talks about Sukkos being the first, the Rishon of Cheshbon Averis. It doesn't say it's the first day that you commit Averis. You don't have 4 days off between Yom Kippur and Sukkos where you can do whatever you want, Chas v'Shalom. What it actually means is that on Sukkos is when we take through the calculations that we have made on Yom Kippur, and now these Averis are being done, if Chas v'Shalom they are being done, they are being done bezodei. And this comes across quite clearly from the Tor at the very beginning of Hilchos Sukkah, Siman Tov Resh Chof Hei. The Tor starts, obviously enough, by telling us, V'sukkos teishvu shivas yomim, levan yedu deresechem, ki v'sukkos eshaftis bnei Yisrael. Quote, Pasuk in the Torah. But then the Tor does something which we would normally expect to see in a Sefer HaChinuch. Tola hakosuv mitzvah sukkah b'tzias Mitzrayim, v'chein harbe mitzvahs. And he goes on to say, "V'hu ha'moira ala mitzvah mitzias ha'boira yisale." This is the type of language we would expect from the Sefer HaChinuch when it gives us the tamei ha'mitzvahs. And the Torah has an arichus as to why we carry out mitzvah yeshiva sukkah, to the extent that the Bach queries why, for some reason, he turns from the normal way of teaching us halacha and starts telling us about the idea behind the mitzvah. But since sukkah was created leman yedu derei seichem, it's not good enough just to do. It has to be performed with a sense of clarity, with a sense of yedia that emerges from Yom Kippur. There's an awareness. And therefore, the Maral points out that although we normally relate to sukkah as a diras arai, as in fact the Mishnah and the Gemara do, but it's arai in a very different way to how we envision the concept of a temporary structure. The walls can be made out of solid steel. Even the schach has to have chamosa meruba mitzilosa. So how temporary is this? Tzilosa meruba, sorry. Tzilosa meruba mechamosa, yes. The shade has to outdo the sun. And generally speaking, when it's raining, we're almost unaware of it, because by the time we've finished with the tzilosa, it's not only meruba mechamosa, it's impermeable. And therefore, it's not much of a temporary structure. Says the Maral, there's one thing that it doesn't allow in, the sun. Because the sun, as we say in Keheles, which is related very much to Sukkot, is the concept of teva, ein chodosh tachas ha-shemesh. Our whole approach, post-Yom Kippur, the whole of the Yom Tov of Sukkot is there to say, we have now had a yediyah of what we should be doing, and we're now living that yediyah. We have come through the struggle that Yaakov went through with the Malach of understanding who we are and where our priorities lie, and we're now carrying that out in the same way as Yaakov built his sukkah. And it's interesting that when we describe all three Yomim Tovim in Tishri, there is a requirement not just to go through it, but to approach it with a particular perspective. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that we on Rosh Hashanah have to, nowadays in Musaf Shemin Esrei, say 10 psukim of Malchus, 10 of Zechariah, and 10 of Shofarus. But the Gemara adds one word. Imru lefonai. Malchis, kdei shetamnechuni aleichem. There's a word lefonai there. And when it comes to Yom Kippur, kiba yom hazeh yechaper aleichem, letaher eschem mikol chatuseichem, but there's a requirement. Lifnei Hashem titoru. And in Parshas Emor, when we describe Sukkos, it's a simcha that takes place lifnei Hashem. There's a requirement for this word lifnei. Now, everything we do is lifnei Hashem. That's a non-negotiable. But if you look in Parshas Bereishis, this idea from Ratzio Solomon a number of years ago, if you look in Parshas Bereishis, when we are describing Nimrod, we talk about him as being a gibber tzayid lifnei Hashem. So, from a superficial perspective, sounds like a great name to give your child. He's a gibber, and in fact, unfortunately, you come across that name in Eretz Yisrael today. Until you look at Rashi, where Rashi tells us of the concept that the lifnei Hashem was Yoda es boiroi umachaven limroid boi. The lifnei Hashem meant having an awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a clarity. And this yediyah, which we find leman yedu deiriseichem, with regards to Sukkos, is something that needs to be present throughout Tishri. And I saw an idea that this actually helps explain the machlekes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer as to what type of sukkos they sat in the Midbar. If you think about it, the Gemara in Yuma asks a question. In what order was Moshe malbish the Bnei Aaron when he was mechanech them to become Kehanim? And the Gemara pushes the question off and says, you know, Maida hava hava, l'may nafka minna. So, to a certain degree, the same would be true here. But since there is a requirement here to understand what we're doing, not simply to do it, to the extent that the Torah feels it necessary to underline why we are doing what we are doing, it's not good enough post Yom Kippur just to do. We have to be lifnei Hashem. And this idea links to a story that was told by the Alter of Navardok. He tells of a smuggling ring or a counterfeiting ring that operated in Warsaw. And what they would do was as follows. They would approach somebody who appeared wealthy and offer them the following deal. They had printed all these banknotes, but there's no way that they could pass them off. Because if you suddenly turn up with all this money, people will get suspicious and the story will come out. So what they are offering to do is to exchange on the basis of 4-1 with real banknotes. They will pay out for every 100 zlotys or rubles, they will pay out 4 times the amount. So what they would do is they would approach a businessman and show him their goods and say, these are available. You tell us the time, you bring the cash, however much you feel you want to invest in this, we will give you a 4-time return on your investment. Obviously, what's the businessman going to say? How do I know that these things will pass muster? So they would say, fine, no problem. Take any 3 notes out of this suitcase. Go to the bank. Go to separate banks. Pass them through the banking system. If it works, then you can see that it works. Fine. often this would be too much of a temptation. Businessmen would say, fine, okay, you know, tomorrow I'll bring you ½ million ruble and we'll make the exchange. So on one occasion, this is what the businessman does, turns up with his suitcase of real money. They bring theirs, and then he has cold feet. He says, well, how do I know that today's quality is as good as yesterday's? Maybe yesterday's was the type of thing you used to tempt people. Today's, who knows? So they said, fine, no problem. Repeat the experiment. Take from any of these 2 million rubles, 6 notes. Take it, see that it works. Okay, he does it, off he goes, comes back, he's convinced. Hands over his 500,000 rubles, takes the 2 million in return. They walk off, and as they're walking off, a policeman walks over to him and says, what were you doing there? He says, no, it's a business transaction. Open these suitcases. So what does he do? He runs. He runs, he leaves the suitcases, and he runs. What was the real story? It's that this policeman is in on the act. Everything is done to confuse this person at the moment when he is most vulnerable, and he runs and he leaves it. And how were they really operating? All of their notes were real. There was no counterfeiting going on whatsoever. They were just passing off these notes as if they were counterfeit. If this person would have had real clarity, he wouldn't have been taken in. He didn't have enough faith in what was going on, that these notes had passed muster. Had he done, he could have been taken down to the station, they would have looked at it, and he would have got away with it. Says the Alter of the Varadok. The problem is that often we've bought into our mitzvahs without a sufficient degree of investment. We don't believe in them enough. We're not prepared to push the envelope far enough because we don't have enough clarity and yediyah in what we are doing. We're not prepared to build houses on it. On sukkahs, that's exactly what we are required to do. We're required to build a sukkah which, to a certain degree, takes us out of the kva, not necessarily the permanence of the walls, because they could still be there, but it takes us out of the teva to which we are often held hostage, and it brings us into a place where we achieve a clarity about what is real and what isn't. The only thing is, though, that with the name change that comes as a result of this struggle, both for Yaakov Yisrael in Parshas VaYishlach, and for us, the name change that we go through by emerging from the process of Din of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we come out Zakai. But it doesn't last. Yisrael's name reverts back to being Yaakov. This is not the change that happens with Avram, who becomes Avraham. What does that mean? That means that this level of clarity won't necessarily last. Because the nature of our existence is that we don't conquer the Yetzer Hara for now and forever. And we have to be aware, post-Sukkos, that the struggle is still very real. But there's one crucial difference. It's now a struggle that's taking place post an 8-day yontav of clarity, of carrying out that clarity in action. In that way, it is now a Yaakov which is permanently affected by the Yisrael. There is a shlemus even when it slips back to being Yaakov. And this concept of Hakara lies at the heart of Keheles, which is a sefer, it's a sefer Musa, but it is a sefer that is talking about the cycle of life, talking about the ups and downs. It's dealing with the reality of the fact that the high that is produced by Yom Kippur, whereas it may last into Sukkos, there will be times of doubt and there will be times of fall, but nevertheless, it is an ongoing, forward-moving struggle. And this concept of Hakara, of clarity, of understanding, really makes its presence felt throughout the Torah. The idea that Kibud Av Va'Em is in the first of the Luchos rather than the second, even though they deal with Bein Odom LaMokim rather than Bein Odom LaChaveiro. So often we assume that the mitzvah of Kibud Av Va'Em comes about because of all that our parents have done for us. They've clothed us, they've fed us, they've sheltered us. But the Dor HaMidbar, the children in the Dor HaMidbar, what did they get from their parents? Well, they didn't get any shelter, or any food, or any clothing. There's only one thing they got from their parents. Tzoros. Because as a result of their parents' chet, by accepting the report of the Meraglim, they spent 40 years in the Midbar. So they got nothing from their parents. Everything came directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Except for one thing. They got life. They were brought into this world through their parents. And that's why, even if parents give a child up for adoption, that Chiyuv of Kibud Av Va'Em is real all the way through, even though they had no ongoing connection to them. Whereas, if a couple were to adopt this child as a one-day-old baby, yes, they have Chiyuvim towards this man and woman, but they do not become their real parents to the extent of there being a deraisa of Kibud Av Va'Em. Giving life, it's the hakar, it's the understanding of what actually took place, of what you've been given. A clarity of the fact that the gift of life, forget everything else, if they do nothing at all for you, just based on that, is why we owe them this chiyuv. And the reverse is true. When it comes to Amun and Moav, Torah tells us in Kiseitse that they lo yovei Amun and Moav b'kahal Hashem. This is post Geirus. They're still not allowed to marry a Bas Yisrael. Why? Lo kidma eschem balechem uvamayim. When Klal Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim, they weren't given a welcome to the street card with a cake. I mean, it made no difference to Klal Yisrael if Amun and Moav were to give them any food. They had the mon, they had all the cattle that they'd taken with them. What do they need it for? So the neighbours weren't that friendly. No. But the vault is that Amun and Moav owe their entire existence to Klal Yisrael. And if you don't have that as the basis of the Hakara, if you don't understand that your existence is dependent on Klal Yisrael, and you don't attempt in some way to acknowledge that, then you have no real Shaychus. And when you think about it, the contrast between the Moyavis and Amoynis versus Moyavi and Amoyni. We know that at the end of Parshas Balak, through the Benois Moav, 24,000 Yidden were killed. Yet for some reason, that's not a problem. Benois Moav, if they go through Geras, they can marry Yisrael. Even though they caused the death of 24,000 Yidden. That's not as bad as not having Hakara. That's how critical, that's how crucial it is. And therefore we find in the Haftarah that deals with the child that dies, with the Shunamis. And Elisha brings the child back to life. The last pasuk tells us that the woman, she's told by Elisha, take your child. What does the woman do? She falls at his feet, and then she picks up the child. Why? Because you can never thank somebody for life. It's impossible. It's impossible to adequately thank somebody for giving you life or for giving you renewed life by saving your life, because every breath you are taking should be expressed in terms of Hakara Satev. But you can have a Hakara, a recognition of it. You can have an expression which shows that you get it, that you understand it clearly. An action that follows through on the thought process. That's what Sukkos is about. Leman yedu deraseichem. It's not good enough to do. Nor is it good enough to remain at the level of Yom Kippur where we understand it. We have to bring those two together. We have to take all that we now have clarified as a result of the struggle, which parallels the struggle of Yaakov, the clarity that we achieve, to become Vayova Yaakov Shalem, by taking that thought process, translating it into action, moving away from Diras Kava, from the Teva that normally surrounds us, and achieving a way forward in Torah Mitzvahs that is accompanied by the clarity that came as a result of Yom Kippur.